Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff.
Ebony Marinoff on the left gets the first for the Crows.
And Tomo.
Massive week in football.
Massive show on Triple M.
Crows fans, good morning to you. Triple M's Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo, the six-time All-Australian, three-time Premiership players here. Ebs, hello.
You got to stop saying that.
No, you're the one that told me and you demanded it in every intro.
Oh, stop that. No, another week down and a pleasure to be here.
You had a busy week. It was, Anzac Day throughout the week as well on Thursday. And I know you were over there at the G.
Yes. Oh, it's been a bucket list of mine. So no, it was awesome. Incredible atmosphere and like a grand final atmosphere
Anzac Day holds a pretty special place in your heart, Eb. So your grandfather actually served, is that correct?
Yeah, yep, he did. So Grandpa Laurie served in Papua New Guinea in World War II. Yeah. And he was at the march on the Thursday and he's got his four medals. He's 100 years old. So he's getting pushed along in those marches by my cousin Nick. But I think when anyone serves for your country, it's pretty special, but when it's your grandfather. And to think that he's lived 100 years, incredible. Very proud.
No, absolutely, and as you should be. Now, big addition coming up. We've gone all out with the guests once again. Dan Curtin's going to join us, which I'm looking forward to that. You went one-on-one with him throughout the week?
Yeah, Dan the man. He's obviously, I haven't had a heap to do with him. I've only been at the footy club, a few months.
Yeah.
But he seems to have settled in really well. And just talking to him, it seems like all the young ones really, I guess, gel and
attempt to find their feet.
Yeah, so Dan lives with Zach Taylor and Hugh Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they go down to Henley Square and things like that. So I feel like it was nice to hear, boys just settling, because that can be really daunting.
Yep.
I mean, he's from the West. He didn't have any idea who any of these young boys were.
Yeah.
They're all from Victoria.
Yep.
So he loves Adelaide, which is nice because, you always conversation about the first round picks, will they go home and whatnot. Really great chat. And he's, doing his time in the sample and I guess finding his way, but it's been a little bit harder this year just with Nick Murray out and Dan's having to play on the big tall targets in Lee McBeans of the world.
Yeah, exactly right. Also, Bernie Vince is going to join us as well. Played a lot of football for the Adelaide Footy Club. And Melbourne now dominates the rush hour on a nightly basis, and he's had some interviews with you, so you get to turn it around this time, Epps.
Exactly. Oh, I love speaking to Bern. He's a character. He kind of reminds me a little bit of myself. He lapped it up at LIV Golf all week.
I know. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Crows Chat.
Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo. And I tell you what, the budget. Adelaide Football Club, renowned not to overspend on their players, okay? For years and years, not paying $1 million. Well, it goes the other way here at Triple M's Crows Chat. We had Andrew Jarman we had 2 weeks ago, and he billed us like he was billing Port Nalunga Footy Club. And then this man, he's heard about it on the rush hour, and he goes, I want in some of that. His name's Bernie Vince, and he joins us right now. Morning, Bern.
Good morning, guys. I heard they've got a big budget, so I want to take a big piece of it. I wanted money up front, and you didn't agree to that, so let's get this done so I can hit my bank account.
Interest rates. Oh, yeah. Whack it on.
It's all happening. Hey, Bern, you're down at LIV Golf at the moment. What's going on down there?
Oh, mate, great day at Grange Golf Club. It's the pro-am, so got to play with some good players and some poor ones. I'm just walking along with Andrew Jarman, and it's actually very dangerous at the moment. I'm finished. And everyone just stands back when Jarv hits, so we've just been very careful there. But I got to play with DJ today, the second nine, so that was very exciting for me. I'm a big golf fan, so very exciting, and played okay.
All right, Bern, enlighten me on who's DJ.
Darren Jarman, mate.
Oh.
Are you serious, Ed?
Stop it.
Who's DJ? Not someone that plays music, Ed.
Oh, let's go. Hey, LIV Golf, you'll be bouncing around.
Dustin Johnson, are you? This is where you need to get better. You need an all-round sporting, knowledge, because Dustin Johnson, one of the biggest players in the world, we got to play with. So he's a very nice man. I got an interview with him actually. So we played that in the rush hour, and it's been a great day here. The course is looking unbelievable. The players, all they talk about is how much they love Adelaide.
So that's awesome.
Not too many, big sporting personalities in the world say that about Adelaide. So every player I've spoken to have said, oh, we just can't wait to get here. Big flight for people from America, though. Big commitment. But they said when they get here, they just absolutely love it. So that's brilliant for the city of Adelaide.
Well, God, we're on a roll with, what, Mad March, and we're still continuing on April. But I do love to ask, how did you go again golf? Because I love when I ask the boys, how'd you go today? And then I'll, shit. Oh, not too bad today. How do you go on the golf sticks, Burn?
I'm just looking up at the leaderboard at the moment, and I've just got to wait because it's just flicking over to 16th to 20th, 20th to... Oh, it's back up the top. Yeah, we're still leading.
Oh,
we're leading at the top of the moment.
What par are you going off? Is that what they call it?
We were one of the earlier groups, so we've come in reasonably early. But a lot of groups have finished now, and we're still up there. So I should tell you at the end of the day, but it has been a great day, and we're doing the rush hour from here today. So we're looking forward to that too.
I love that. Hey, Burn, let's talk some footy now and personally about your own journey. There's, a lot of Crows fans out there that it probably was pretty tough to see you depart the Adelaide Football Club. But can you go from the start? Because your draft story is quite interesting, including how you went down the South East for a year.
Yes, I was a bit different, as you said, to most pathways, I guess, to the AFL. I left school and... You know, I was okay at footy, but I never played in there. We used to call it association footy. Some people call it interleague footy. For York Peninsula, that's about all I did as a junior. And, you know, most people come through the state pathway programs, under 16s, under 18s. Never even was close to that. There's a couple of people back from York Peninsula, Jay Schultz and guys like that, Scott McMahon, if you remember those sort of names that came through and ended up playing. But they were sort of a big gap on the rest of us. And I left school and I worked for a couple of years, actually, and I got drafted when I was 20. So I played majority of the year back on York Peninsula the year I got drafted. I came down and played a few games for the Woodville West Torrens. I nearly said I'm not coming back. Well, not nearly. I said it about four times. The fifth time I was asked, I said, all right, I'll come down and play for the bloody reserves for the Eagles just to tick a box. I played, I don't know, a few reserves games, and then I played four league games actually towards the end of that season, which was the 05 season.
Yep.
So I played four games. Three were finals from memory, and one was the grand final. We lost to Centrals by about 3 goals. And then I got drafted after that and played round one for Adelaide, who Adelaide had finished minor premiers in 05 the year before. So I was stepping into a team where they just thought, they're like all my heroes. I actually had to pinch myself, and people still ask me to this day, how the hell did that happen? And at the time, I got a lot of phone calls going, what the hell's happened here? Mm. Is this actually happening? So I had to pinch myself. But once you're there, you sort of got to make the most of it. And, I had my issues at the time. I had my challenges, I'd say. Never really done a pre-season ever because I'd just go and play cricket in the summer and footy in the winter. So I just thought I could roll into the AFL.
You were having too many bevvies at the Stansbury pub.
I didn't realise you had to actually rock up half fit, daylight.
Stop it.
And now Jarz is telling me to be quiet. He's trying to have a shot. No, it's not going to help him. I didn't realise you had to rock up fit day one. I thought pre-season was to get fit, not be fit at the start. Now, you tell me. Is that true or not?
Oh, well, it makes it a lot easier. Hey, but Ben, a little birdie tells me you had a secret training session prior to being drafted. Is that correct?
I actually did. You've done your research, Ed. That's very good. They thought they saw something in me from all reports. I've asked this after, but at the time I didn't think this. They said, oh, we'll just get you out to do I think it was a 3K-er and maybe a vertical jump and what they call a Goodwin run, which was horrific. I never, ever want to do one of them again, which I won't because I don't have to.
What's a Goodwin run?
A Goodwin run was like this, sort of like you'd have to, it's like a rectangle. You'd sprint down one side, jog across, sprint back, but you go as far as you could until basically you dropped, which I dropped very early. And I said, I think I told Stephen Swirt, who was here at the day, stop. I don't think this is for me, mate. And he agreed. And then they drafted me.
And then you played round one.
round one. So obviously the fitness didn't matter that much, but... The good thing I could do, Ev, though, was I could go, when training was on, I could kick the footy. So once I started kicking it, they're like, oh, yeah, this is what we saw in him. But when the running come out, I was just always a little bit sore or just done an ankle or there was something I had to get to.
And living with the big Texan Walker, What a time. Is it a can't say situation or what did you boys get up to?
Oh, I live with him for probably 4 or 5 years. There's probably four years and 9 months of that I can't talk about. The other 3 months, is that add up to 5 years? Yeah, Doug. It was brilliant because he was the rawest, driest young country kid I've ever seen in my life. And I'm a country bloke as well, so I've seen a lot of them. But he was as raw as you could get. And I was thinking, he rocked up with a little rat's tail that had bleach through it and skinny as hell, tall, skinny. And I just thought, well, this ain't going to last long for this fella. But anyway, the same thing. Once he started training, I was like, he's got a little bit, I reckon. And then after probably 12, 18 months of him being at the club, we moved in together. And we had a lot of fun on the way. But people just thought we had fun the whole time. You've got to work hard as well. We worked really hard as a pair. And we got the best out of ourselves. We had, I think footy is about having fun along the way as well. Because if I didn't have fun along the way, people ask me that all the time, I don't think it would have played as good a footy because I wouldn't have enjoyed it. And I would have ended up just, I don't know what I would have ended up doing. But, it's all about enjoyment as well and had to enjoy yourself. And I wouldn't change too much. Maybe getting caught a couple of times would have changed not getting caught, but I wouldn't have changed what I did.
What, getting caught having a few bevvies?
Well, it's just the famous jock situation at the front bar there after a nice little Mad Monday double. Beautiful.
I was very happy to jump on that I was caught in my jock because I was completely starker. So when I was...
Don't lie, you had the helmet on.
Phil Harper, the great man.
Phil Harper pulled me in and he goes, Mate, I've got this email saying that you were naked. You had your boxer shorts on in the Stansbury pub drinking beer. And I was like, boxer shorts, definitely in the pub drinking beer. It wasn't in my boxer shorts, it was completely naked, but I'll take the boxer shorts. So I thought I'll admit that, give a bit to get a bit. I was like, I was in my boxer shorts. I'm very sorry about that, Phil. I had a cricket helmet on, that was it.
Oh, man. So, Bern, through circumstance, made your way over to the Melbourne Footy Club, won a BNF at the Crows and at Melbourne as well. But then, I'm interested to ask you about this. You moved into, it was real estate first and then media. How did all that play out?
Yeah, interesting sort of way or pathway that happened as well. Obviously, first of all, leaving Adelaide wasn't something I wanted to do or went after, but the Adelaide Footy Club, where they missed out on their first two draft picks for a couple of years and had to get back into the draft. So they had to sort of trade someone out to get some sort of draft pick. I think their first pick for 2 years was like 50-odd. So obviously that's not going to hurt you in the first 1 or 2 years, but sort of 3 or 4 or 5 years down the track, there's a bit of a hole in your list. So they had to sort of work out what they were going to do. And in the end, long story short, it was me that was the one that they could, trade and get, I think they got pick 23, and it was Matt Crouch. So he's been a long-term player at the footy club, a great player at the footy club, best and fairest, all Australian. No sort of regrets there for who they got into the club. But, I just thought, and it was probably a time in my career too where I thought, if they're going to think they're going to trade me, I'm going to show them that, what they're missing out on, really. And, the first game we played against Melbourne was interesting too. We came back, we actually won by 3 points. And Melbourne weren't that great. Adelaide were going pretty well. But that was a fond memory of mine just to go, shove that up, Even though I still love the Adelaide Footy Club, I just thought that'd be good to win the first one. Got over there and I was 5 years there, 100 games, which sort of went pretty quick, really, and ended up staying on there. And the media stuff just sort of happened, really. Yep. I did a little bit part-time, probably 10 games, maybe special comments the year after I finished in 2019. That was my first year out. And then it just sort of happened from there more and more and more until, I got the job on the rush hour and joined the Saturday Rub. And, I pinch myself sometimes. I get to work with some great people. Especially over in Melbourne, like Jars and Bluey are great here as well, but over in Melbourne, like some of the best people in media, I just sometimes go, how the hell did I end up here? But once you're there, you've got to make the most of it and put time in, and it gives it back to you. So it's been an incredible journey. I still, I'm still burning from Stansbury, but I've been very, very lucky to be working against, Jason Dunstall and all these guys, Andrew Gaze on the bounce. So, James Brayshaw, some of the biggest names in media. So I think to myself, I'm very, very lucky. But then got to make the most of it when you're there too. So, no, it's been incredible.
Now, Bern, better player at Crows or Melbourne?
Oh, hang on. Bang.
Jeez, is there any other options?
Sainsbury?
CMS Crows?
Woodville West Torrens?
Eagles, CMS. Adelaide. I'd say Adelaide. We went better at Adelaide as well. Obviously played finals and that with Adelaide. And we had a very good team through there. I reckon we had a good enough team to go a bit further. Even after I left 2017, you know, we had some very good teams, especially early on in my career. Like, oh, shit, was a year that, geez, we had a great side. We were at the final in a prelim at home against West Coast by, I think it was $3 or something. Ben Cousins, Judd, all these guys just, it was Braun. They just stepped up. Kerr, that was in the second half. It was one of the best performances I've seen from an opposition side in a half I've ever seen. They went on. I think Sydney actually beat them in that grand final the next year. And then they reversed it the year after. But that 06 team was incredible. I think I played my best footy at Adelaide, but I was getting a bit long in the tooth when I got to Melbourne. I went there at 28, but the first few years was good, but sort of went to halfback in my last couple of years. So anyone can play halfback these days.
we love it, Bert. Thank you so much for your time, mate. Appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the day at Live Golf.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Bert. Been a big week for you, Ebs. You were down at West Lakes and you got the opportunity to catch up with Dan Curtin. I had big raps on this kid when we picked him up, and I love the way that we traded up to get his services.
Yeah, I think we were big fans of him at the start of the draft, and you're not sure who's going to go 1, 2, and 3. I think he ended up being pick 6, and we had to have a few selections to get him, but I think he showed enough in Western Australia, and he's jumped into the midfield late last year and, showed a lot of class and hurts why the club traded up to get him.
Yep, for sure. You went one-on-one this week. Here's how that chat played out.
So, Dan, how are you setting into Adelaide?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Yeah, it's really similar to the lifestyle I had in Perth and, really enjoying it at the moment. So,
was that a big move, big change?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I get drafted, come back from Melbourne to Perth, stay there for 2 days, and then I'm moving to Adelaide for 3 weeks and then beyond. So it was a pretty big move, but really happy.
Such a whirlwind. Can you talk us a little bit through the draft night?
Draft night, there was lots of different things happening. Like, wasn't really sure where I was going to end up and had absolutely zero clue. And then when Crows traded into that GWS pick, kind of knew that was what's going to happen, and rest is history.
And then living in Adelaide, who are you living with? What's it been like?
Yeah, so I'm living with Hugh Bond and his brother Jack Bond, and we just had Zach Taylor move in too. So I've got a full house at the moment. It's going real good.
And then transition from, I guess, Waffle and state program last year, how's it been on the body? You've had a little bit of an interrupted pre-season. Talk us through the transition.
It's been a huge, most of the year I was training for under 18s footy, and I guess you train like 2 nights a week. But going to the AFL pre-season was absolutely huge, even from league footy in WA, because it was towards the back end of the finals. You don't actually do a whole lot of training. So, the step up to pre-season was huge.
And the expectation, we always talk about it in a first-round pick. How do you deal with that? And I guess the questions of when are you going to play, where are you going to play, how do you deal with that?
I'll keep going about my business in the sample, keep listening to the coaches, and try to stay away from the media as much as possible. They can tend to hype things up above the level it needs to be, so yeah.
And Crows fans, what can they expect from you? You did play a little bit of midfield last year, but you've been in the defence this summer and have been playing there. Is that where you feel most comfortable?
Hopefully down the track, midfield something might become more of an option. But for now, in the back lines where I've settled, and we'll be down there and very comfortable there at the moment. So
awesome. Thanks, Dan.
No problem.
Crows chat. Ebs, time to talk the MRO because it's just the constant battles that players of this day and age constantly face. The game's changed. You're going to hear that on every media outlet going around, and it's changed for the better there in terms of the thuggery of the 60s, 70s and 80s is completely wiped out of the game at the moment. But the players seem to be, it's a constant battle of changing and justification of any action on any given weekend.
Yeah, the justification is probably a really good terminology to use because it is so challenging as players, because I feel like it's the outcomes, whatever the outcome is, that's a sanction. And as a player that's, grown up playing footy for 10, 15 years, naturally you just hitting a ground ball with great technique and you're protecting yourself and you're getting under and over the footy. Same things with the mark, you know, you're jumping and launching at the footy, trying to take it at the highest possible point. But unfortunately, if there's an outcome to your opposition player, that's making it difficult for the player, I guess, launching for the footy or getting over that ground ball. So as a player and for myself, I actually went to tribunal probably 3 or so years ago now, which would be interesting to see how my case would go down in this day and age, because back then I feel like the outcome was less of a, I guess, a gauge of the suspension.
What was that one for?
It was in a trial game against Giants. I just went in for a ground ball, and unfortunately, Brid Stack from the GWS Giants broke her neck.
Yeah, right.
And it was really, really innocuous. Like, if you watch the footage back.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah. I remember the one. Yep.
I think, you know, the biomechanics looked at it and there was legitimately, I can't even remember, like 0.0013 seconds. And the biomechanics showed that I stopped and had no such force. But, you know, anything can happen, and it's in day-to-day life, like innocuous things happen. Yeah, I mean, you see the ACLs and things like that. You look and, you know, that busts your whole knee and your MCL and whatnot. So, yeah, it's challenging.
It's a fickle point. It really is, because, you know, we saw the Toby Green one last weekend and I was shattered for him because I just felt he was doing everything right. And then at the last second, but if he goes through and buries his knee in and, you know, collapses someone's rib cage or lung or anything like that, that seemed to be deemed okay. So I think it is. There's murky waters with it all. There's no doubt about that. But the big one I want to talk about is the Brownlow medal, which is the best and fairest. What's your opinion? Because mine is now that if you get rubbed out, I still believe that you should be able to win the Brownlow medal, because it was there for the best and the fairest player.
Fairest.
The fairest. I understand all that. But it was judged fairest when you were turning around and king hitting someone. People aren't doing that these days. They're going up for marking contests, they're innocuous footy contests, and they're getting rubbed out for a week and then they can't win a Brownlow. To me, that seems incredibly unfair.
100%. And you speak about, I guess, the Brownlow and the best and fairest. And like you said, back in the day, like the thugginess of what the game looked like and, I guess, people going out to hurt or not intentionally trying to king hit someone, but that was, it's so different now.
Yeah.
And you speak about the best and fairest, it's just an innocuous, you know, if Toby Green's on fire about to win a Brownlow, it was just an unfortunate footy incident, an unfortunate mishap that there was no malicious, it was just
intent.
A footy action, whereas unfortunately, you know, the opposition in Boyd, I think the outcome gets Toby suspended. Yeah. So it's a great conversation, and it's something that maybe we will look in the next couple of years, because right now, if you ask the whole footy world, I don't think people are getting suspended because their thugginess or, you know, their actions is unfair and, you know, not what we want to see in the game. Mm. It's just unfortunate footy incidents.
Well said. Crows Chat. Oh, another great edition. Triple M's Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo. Bernie Vince, how good was he? And Dan Curtin also.
Oh, absolute ripper. God, Bernie is a laugh.
Yeah. You still got your number 17 of him hanging up at home?
Well, I had Bernie Vince left me, Kirk Tippett left me, and so there you go. No, I don't.
I like it, mate. You enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll see you next week.
Go Crows.